You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Thank God that on this 203rd anniversary of the independence of the United States of America, we are still one nation under God, under His judgment for our sins, but also under His mercy and grace.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
As we turn to God in prayer, let us remember His goodness to our nation and its people. For more than two centuries, He has blessed us. Thank you, Father in heaven, for the material bounties we have enjoyed, the peace which surrounds our days, the men and women of courage and wisdom who have led us, and the privilege we still have to lead our world in the pursuit of human rights, the dignity of man, and freedom from fear, freedom from hunger, freedom of speech, and freedom of worship. Give us wisdom to see your way as the good way, and strength to take our places in the long line of those who have battled for righteousness and who have shared that peace which is found only in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. As the United States of America celebrates another anniversary of her independence this week, strident voices are raised to insist that we are a purely secular nation. God, they say, has nothing to do with the political and economic life of our country. The relationship of God to our country is still an unsettled issue among us. On the one hand, the policy of the separation of church and state is elevated by some to an inviolable principle or doctrine. Worship all you want, they say, and worship in any manner you choose, but keep your God in your church. On the other hand, our president proclaims himself to be a born-again Christian. The argument about prayers in public schools is once again a current issue. Some would remove the phrase, under God, from our National Pledge of Allegiance. And so the argument continues. As America celebrates Independence Day, it is fitting for us to ask, in what way are we under God? The Holy Scriptures state many times and in many ways that all nations are under God. The psalmist proclaimed, from the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. We are reminded in the first place, then, that our nation and all nations are under the evaluation and judgment of God, the God who has revealed Himself in the Bible. Not we nor any other nation decides what is right or wrong in human morality. Certainly the practical affairs of a nation are subject to debate and to decision by majority vote. That is the very essence of democracy. However, ultimate right and wrong are decided by the will of God and not by human convenience and judgment. Many years ago, Bishop Sheehan said it well in one of his radio addresses. He said, right is right, even if nobody is right. And wrong is wrong, even if everybody is wrong. As a nation and as individuals, our thoughts, words, and deeds are subject to the evaluation and judgment of the Creator of this world. We are a nation under God. This concept is important for us as we decide what to do in our individual lives and in our national life. If God is high above our nation, His will must be studied to determine how we are to act. People often have a mistaken view about God's moral laws. They see God as concocting moral laws to keep people from enjoying themselves. Sinful acts, they opine, are the fun things of life. God takes the fun out of them by giving us a bad conscience about them. This is not true at all. When God proposes moral laws, He is being kind. He tells us that we may think that immorality will lead to joy and pleasure, but it will actually lead to suffering and heartbreak. Countless human beings have discovered that to their own misery. Being a nation under God means that we have a responsibility to consult the will of God, to ask what He wants. Individuals, legislators, political parties, all of us have the responsibility to ask not only whether what we are doing is popular, whether it is politic, whether it is pleasurable, we must ask whether or not it is God-pleasing. And we must not decide for ourselves what is God-pleasing. We are under obligation to study and to discern the basic moral involvements of our actions. As never before, our nation and all of us are faced with many puzzling moral questions and dilemmas. The questions of abortion, of euthanasia, that is, mercy killing, responsibility for the underprivileged, and many other difficult decisions call us daily to responsible thinking. If we are under God, we must ask and seriously seek to do God's will. A long time ago, Joseph in Egypt set a model for us. When tempted by his master's wife to sexual immorality, he exclaimed, "How can I do this wickedness and sin against God?" Now, if being under God means being responsible to seek God's will, it also means that we are called to repentance. Repentance means recognition that we have not always sought and kept God's will. Repentance is one of the major themes of the Bible. The ministry of John the Baptist was primarily to call men to repent. Many years ago, Dr. Walter A. Meyer, the first and longtime speaker on the Lutheran Hour, preached one of his most powerful sermons under the title of America, on Your Knees. His was a clarion call to sorrow over deeds which we have need to confess as wrong in the sight of God and in view of our own consciences. Under God means being answerable to Him and honest and sorrowful when for any reason we know that we have missed the mark of His demands. Thank God, however, that being under Him involves not only His judgment, but also His mercy in Jesus Christ. It is good to be under God. It is good to be under a God who controls the universe and who blesses people with the good things of his earth. On an anniversary of our republic, it is well that we stop to recognize our blessings. Despite our worries and complaints about inflation, the people of our country still enjoy one of the highest standards of living in the world. The parking lots of our restaurants are jammed. We fill the stadiums of our land to watch baseball and football games. There are long lines at many ticket booths of our theaters. Our streets and highways are still crowded with our cars. Not all, of course, are equally blessed. There is still much cause to be concerned about those who, for many reasons, are not sharing in the good life. And yet, even among them, there is cause for gratitude. Compared to the condition of many older people not many years ago, today, many of our older people are secure. It was good to hear a few weeks ago from an elderly American who said to me, "Thank God for Social Security." Above all, however, we rejoice that we are under God because we are under His grace. What has God done for us that we should recognize Him as high above all nations? Well, consider what we are. We human beings are not animals. We are God's special creation. He made man. And death, of course, confronts us all. Yet in our hearts we have what the poet has called intimations of eternity. We wonder all our lives what happens after we die. God informs us that we are not temporary creatures who are born, live a few years, and then pass out of existence. We are destined for eternity. How then shall we face death and life after death? And here all human ingenuity, all human science fails. But our God does not fail us. His greatest grace is in what He has done for us in the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. Through His Son, God has taken care of our failures in His eyes. Because His Son lived and died for us, every person in America, yea, every person in all the world, can be saved. We can be saved because we are saved. Jesus Christ lived a perfect, God-pleasing life for us. He suffered on Calvary's cross for us, and He rose again to show us that death is not the final an ultimate end of life. It can be for all the gate to an eternity of living which is far beyond our poor powers to understand. To be under God is not to be under His accusing gaze alone. It is also to be under His amazing grace. It is to be in touch with a God who understands us, who forgives us, and who calls us to live now under His forgiving grace, and who offers us the glories of eternity. Yes, God is high, and we are low. He is above us, and we are below Him. But this is not a condition of slavery. This is to be under a God who demands much, but who gives more. He wants to be the God of every person and every nation, so that through His Son He may bless all. To all who believe on His name, He gives power to become the sons of God. What better blessing for our nation? What better blessing for you? Amen.